Well, good morning. It's really good to be with you in Steinbach, the land of my forefathers. I plan to have a Mattislope today and partake in some FOSPA a little later on. That's what you do when you're here. This is good. I bring greetings from my church, Trinity Baptist, and I've been the pastor there. This is my wife, Michelle. Could you stand up? And this is my wife, Michelle, and my kids. Could you stand up? And then Sam, come on, Sam. There you go. Nathan and Maggie. Let's give them a round of applause. I'm the pastor of Trinity Baptist in Winnipeg. It's in the Osborne Village area. Many of you may have heard of Trinity. It definitely has a storied history in Winnipeg. I've been the pastor there for 2 years, and you may be thinking, wow, I didn't know Trinity was a Salt and Light church. What's the connection here? You know, Trinity has a very strong connection to Salt and Light, has had a very strong connection for decades. And so, you know, over the years, Rob Barron, my pastor from West End Christian Community, strongly supported Trinity when their last pastor moved on, provided some pulpit supply and just kind of walked with them. And along the way, Rob came up to me and said, would you ever consider pastoring at Trinity Baptist? And I was just lay pastoring at the time. I was just a volunteer assistant pastor at West End. And I thought, wow, that's out of left field. And at first I thought, no. And through a long series of events and lots of clarity from the Lord, I became the pastor at Trinity Baptist. And so when Rob Belfer and I connected, we just felt really a kinship, because we kind of have kind of come out of that same sense of call, you know, really content just serving the Lord and working and doing that lay ministry thing. But at some point, the Lord just saying, no, you're going to go full time. And so I feel a real connection with Rob. We've had a great time connecting over the last few months. So you got an awesome pastor. I really appreciate it, Rob. So when Rob asked me to come and share this message with you, it was in part because I said to him, you know, God gave me a word for Steinbach. It's like 5 years ago, I was, you know, my parents live here. And so we'd come on weekends and I would go for a jog. That's kind of what I like to do when I come to Steinbach. So I strapped on the sneakers and went out for a run, and the Lord met with me. And we had a really interesting conversation about Steinbach. And so I kind of hung on to that word for many years. I just didn't have the opportunity to give it. And until 2 weeks ago, actually, my grandma, who also lived here in Steinbach, passed away just a few weeks ago, and I felt a release to give that message at her, at the wake, at the viewing. And then when I was asked to come this Sunday, I thought, wow, this is obviously a word that's in season. So I'm just going to deliver that word to you this morning. And I hope that it hits the mark, what the Lord's speaking to your church. In order to give this word, though, I think I got to give you a little bit of context, a little bit of background. If you're not Mennonite here this morning, I just want to apologize, because it does kind of connect to the Mennonite thing. But I just kind of felt like I need to encourage you that the Bible was written by Jews, and we still learn from it. So you can learn something this morning, I'm hoping, no matter what you come from. But it does have a bit of a Mennonite context to it. So my family was among the original 18 families that settled Steinbach. My ancestor's name was Klaus R. Reimer, and his son, Klaus W. Reimer. Now, I probably have family here. If you know your family history, you're probably like, wow, yeah, he's like a cousin. Klaus W. Reimer was 14 at the time. There was three generations that came over from Russia, and they landed here and were given 20 parcels of land, and there were 18 families that settled those 20 parcels. And I know that you guys have the Mennonite Heritage Museum, so you probably don't need a history lesson. If you grew up here, you probably got like the tours growing up, right? But in order to kind of give you this word, I need to kind of explain a little bit about my family. So, because it was the context in which the Lord spoke to me. Klaus W. Reimer, 14 at the time, came to a very wild place. This was wilderness to them. And it's hard to imagine this is wilderness, but it was a lot of hard work for those folks when they just landed. And it certainly was not easy for them. At first, winter was especially brutal. And I don't know if you know the story of when they first arrived here, but they were crammed into sod houses. They've got one over at the museum there. And they lost some livestock during that first winter because it was so cold. You may have also heard that that first year that they were here, that their entire first year's crop was wiped out by grasshoppers or locusts. I don't know what they were, but they were some sort of vermin. And they wiped out that first crop. It was like a plague of biblical proportions. And they said that even the laundry they hung out to dry was eaten by those grasshoppers. So it was a devastating blow because they were tired and they were worn out from a long journey from Russia. And to have their first year's crops wiped out was devastating to them. They had to rely, in fact, on charity from, and this is kind of hard for Mennonites to rely on charity. Usually we're the ones trying to give out the charity, but it was really hard. They had to receive some charity from some brothers and sisters in Ontario to get through that second winter. What was almost the straw to break the camel's back, though, is that next spring, when the snow melted, they went to inspect the ground that they'd worked so hard to clear stones and trees and stumps. And there's a lot of hard work. And then they look into the ground, and what they saw were all those grasshopper eggs that were laying from the plague the year before. And they almost gave up hope. You almost, for those of you who come from those families, you almost went to the States because they really seriously considered packing up and going south. And my family, it's recorded in my family history. My great-grandfather, Klaus W. Reimer, actually shared the story at the Jubilee celebration here. So it's documented. But there was a family meeting where the family came together, and I'm sure there were other family meetings. What are we going to do? And in this family meeting, they said, you know, let's just go. So obviously this land is you know, not going to bear fruit. And there's a lot of good reasons for them to go south. But my great-great-grandmother, the oldest generation, there were three that came. Her name was Elizabeth Reimer. Stood up in that meeting. That was something, you know, for a lady to stand up. And she gave the family a word. I believe it was a prophetic word. And it basically went like this. It was, God's brought us here. He'll take care of us. He told us to come. Let's not abandon what God is doing. And that's, you know, the short version. But that was basically what she said. And you know what? The reason I know it was a prophetic word is it said, my great-grandfather said that, that it edified the family so much. They were so encouraged that you cry a bit too, I think. They were so encouraged that they, despite the eggs, with the eggs still in the ground, they decided to stay. And you know, the Lord's totally blessed them. It wasn't weeks later than they had one of those late snow rain things that happened here. It totally drowned those eggs. And they had their first crop that year. The Lord blessed their faithfulness. I don't know, had anybody heard that story before? No? Wow, that's terrible. That is so terrible. That's a documented story from Steinbeck's history. And I think it's a spiritual legacy. Of course, the rest is history. In so many ways, a city has been built on the faithfulness of those who came here first. I know that gets said a lot. They certainly weren't perfect, and we need to realize that. You know, sometimes we idolize the past, and we can't do that. These were just people, normal people, but they were people of God. And sure, we do a lot of things different. Notice the girls and the guys are sitting together here this morning. So we do some things different now. It's not a lot of German going on in this service. So things change, but you know that there are certain things that should not change throughout the generations. You'll notice in Scripture that there are certain things the Lord needs to renew, right? There are certain things that need to change, but there are also other things that are ageless, things that God wants to renew in the generations. One of the things that happened, this was all going through my head that morning as I was jogging around Steinbeck, and one of the things that I began to feel a burden for is like, oh God, you know, what about the generations now that are leaving the faith? You know, I've got a lot of family in the area. I know it's not easy in southern Manitoba. You know, y'all are known as the Bible Belt, but that's a bit of an illusion, right? Because in some ways, this is a prodigal generation. There's a lot of people who are leaving the faith. A lot of people who are disillusioned, who are hurt by church. A lot of people who are too busy for God, pursuing financial gain. There's a lot of distractions to the will of God. And folks, that's right here. That's right here in Steinbeck. And as I began to think about God's burden for this place, I just began to ask Lord why, and God began to speak to me, and I began to think of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I just want you to turn there. The context of this scripture is Moses talking to the people of God before they are going into the promised land. They're about to go take possession of the land. And Moses writes these chapters of Deuteronomy. This is a public address. This is a time when Moses was addressing the people and giving them instructions. A few chapters earlier, he's reminding them of the mistake they made the first time they came to the doorstep of the promised land. And they saw all the, you guys know the story, they saw all the giants and the walled cities, and they freaked out and they said, no way, we're not going in there. What about our children? They're sending us in there to die. And they rebelled against God, and God caused them to have to wander about the desert for another 40 years till that generation died off. Now they're ready again. And Moses is giving them these instructions. And this is a warning that he gives them about the future generations. Chapter 8, we're going to read starting in verse 10. He says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I have given you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end, it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. In the chapters, in this chapter, Moses is looking ahead and he's warning them of the peril that is to come. And Moses is warning the Israelites here that there will be a time when they will reap the rewards of their obedience. A time after fighting off enemies and taking cities, a time after taking the land and settling in the wilderness, pulling up the stumps, pulling out the hard rocks, and beginning to sow crops. There's a time coming after that where they would eat and be satisfied. A time of building fine houses, a time of large herds and growing bank accounts. And he warns them that it will be a time when they will face a certain temptation. It's a temptation to do two things. One is to forget that it was God who brought them there in the first place. That it was God who led them through many troubles, and that he all along was their provider. Whether it was in the desert place or now in the bounty, is the Lord who is their provider. And the second thing they would be tempted to do is to take credit. To take credit and say things like, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. Pride. You know, different times have different struggles and different temptations, don't they? The first time that they came to the doorstep of the promised land, it was a totally different situation. They had just escaped slavery. They'd gone through the desert. It was a time where they were fearful. It was a fearful time. And when you're in a fearful time, there are certain temptations in the fearful time, aren't there? And usually what happens in the fearful time is we try to conserve. We try to hold on to what we have. They did that with the manna, didn't they? Just try to store it up and it got all stale and rancid and stinky. Well, that's the temptation when we're in those fearful times, is to be in that fear and to not do things that seem fearful, like taking the promised land with its giants and walled cities. And so they rebelled at that time, in that fearful time. They didn't believe that God was big enough to accomplish what he said he would do through them. It was a fearful time. And that's one of the peculiar temptations with a fearful time. And maybe some of you are going through a fearful time in your life. And you're going to face the temptation in a fearful time that God isn't big enough to do what he says he's going to do. But that wasn't the time that Moses was trying to prepare them for. He wasn't trying to prepare them for a fearful time. He was warning them about a fruitful time. A time of great fruitfulness. And there's temptations that come in the period of fruitfulness. It's a temptation to settle into the blessing. I would call probably the best word that you could use for it is entitlement. Sometimes in the blessings, we get a spirit of entitlement upon us. And the generations that grow up under us don't know the feeling of hardship anymore. They haven't experienced what it means to have to trust the Lord through fearful times. And we get this attitude that God just owes this to us. This is always going to be here. And we begin to forget about God. We begin to forget just how desperately we need him. We're like the church of Laodicea that said, we're rich, we don't need a thing. And then the Lord had to say, but really, you're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Without me, you're nothing. You are in such desperate need. You have no idea. Don't allow what you see in the flesh, in the physical. Do not allow the earthly things of this world, the things that the whole world says, these are marks of stability. These are marks of prosperity. Don't use these things as your marker of how blessed you are. Really, without me, you are desperate. Whether you have money in the bank or you're begging on the streets. That's why Jesus said things like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? Blessed are the poor, those who see that they need me, who walk with the revelation of their great need for me. Folks, our prosperity is nothing. It can be gone like this. And Moses was warning the people. He said, don't get caught up in a false sense of security. Don't use the things of this world as your markers of stability. Today I was jogging around Steinbach. The cry of my heart for this city and this town, for you who live here, was, God, would you help them not to settle? Yeah, I know that people came here to settle this place, but settle has two different types of meanings. There's a type of settling which is coming into a wilderness and it's tearing out rocks from the ground and cutting down trees so that you can plant crops. There's that kind of settling, isn't there? But after that work is done and the crops come up and the houses get bigger and the bank accounts get fatter and the clothes get nicer, there's a different kind of settling, isn't there? Where we settle back into those blessings. And I just felt like it was, the Lord was saying, I don't want my people here to settle, to grow comfortable, to settle into comfort zones and complacency. I want to stir my people. I just felt like that was his burning heart for you. And all the blessings that we enjoy, Lord, help us to not lose sight of you. And Lord, help us not to lose sight of the reason that you brought us here. And I think that's a huge question for Steinbach. Lord, why did you bring us here? Now, this isn't just for Mennonites. So I know there's not some of you who have been brought here who aren't Mennonite. But God brings you to a place for a reason. And that reason isn't all about you. Right? That reason is beyond you. See, when you come into a place where you have a settling mentality, it's all about you. But I believe that God brought the ancestors of Steinbach and he brought some of you into Steinbach for a purpose that goes beyond, a purpose that goes beyond your own settlement. See, I believe that our forefathers, and I'm not just talking about Mennonites, I'm talking about our spiritual forefathers, carried a spirit of a pioneer spirit. A spirit that just had to break new ground. Do you hear it in the writings of Paul? He just wasn't content. He was passionate about going where they had never heard the gospel before. He just couldn't wait to find new wilderness, new ground to break. And I believe that there is in the blood and the DNA of this community a pioneering spirit, something that just needs to break new ground. And that's just what I felt from the Lord, that there's something about this community that needs to remain true to who God has called you to and what God is calling you into needs to break new ground. Amen? I just feel that that's your DNA. As I was joy, I was just like, oh God, more. More of that. Yeah, you know what? This land may have been settled, but there's lots of unsettled land amongst you. Do you know that? There's lots of wildernesses in the hearts and the lives of the people living here. Sure, the physical ground might be settled, but boy, there's lots of wilderness within your neighbors and the people in this community and those who are living around this community. The danger in settling is that you and your children will grow comfortable in the blessings and will forget God and take credit. I just want to talk about taking credit for a moment. The church that I serve in right now, I wasn't there during the heyday. Trinity Baptist had a heyday. They had like a charismatic revival. It was like, I hear all the stories. I never even was there. I came to Manitoba for college right in the middle of it, but I wasn't charismatic then. I would have avoided it like the plague. But I hear the stories, people getting saved and the place being packed. They had to put like teleposts up in the basement because they almost collapsed the floor because they were dancing. Like crazy stuff, right? But you know, Trinity Baptist went through some really hard times after that. And when the people who are still there from those days talk, you know what they talk about? The beginning of that those problems was something called pride. And you know, when God's blessing and you're in that place of the crops coming up as a church and there's good things going on here, and you know what, guys, there are good things going on here that are of the Lord. But I feel like the warning of the Lord to you is just beware of pride. And pride will manifest itself in this way. You will begin to rise up against leadership. And I just felt like the Lord just wants to encourage you. Now, your leaders aren't always going to make the right decisions. But come under. God will help. And I just want to encourage you with something. You know, I worked under Rob Barron at West End Christian Community. Rob's been here, right? You guys have met Rob. And, you know, we didn't always agree. But the Lord gave me a revelation right from the get-go. And it was this, that I would have a more significant voice if I came under and blessed and encouraged, if I came around and loved, that God would give me much more of a voice for the things that I saw and the things that God, the revelations that God had given me, than if I would come against and be a constant burr. And I think that what happens is pride manifests itself as I know better. And I just want to encourage you guys to continue to respect and come under and honor your leadership. You got an awesome opportunity next week with Rob. And I just encourage you to do that, just to honor your leader and to honor your eldership. But pride is insidious and it will want to rise up, because what happens is when the blessings are flowing, our need for significance will want to take hold of something. And if you're feeling that right now, I just want to encourage you just to humble yourself before the Lord, because God wants to bless this church. But if your need for significance rises up in a way that comes against leadership or complains and starts to natter, it's not good. And God just wants to bring you under so that you can bless. And that'll ensure that this continues to be a place of blessing. Do you receive that? I didn't plan to say that, so I'm hoping that was the Lord. Do you hear the warnings this morning? Don't settle. Right? I just feel like that's what the Lord's just saying to you. Don't settle. Look for the frontier. Look for new ground to break. Don't forget the Lord. In the blessings that you're receiving, don't forget the Lord. And don't take credit. I think this is why Jesus gives the following instructions in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus was all about going instead of settling. And he says in Matthew 28, he says, and we learned this yesterday at the conference, he says, going therefore, right? Steve taught us that for those who were there. In the original, it was much more, it's better rendered, as you go, make disciples. And sometimes we look at making disciples as something people are doing over in Africa or, you know, in Winnipeg and or somewhere else, you know, but not here. But Jesus was saying, no, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, make disciples. Jesus was all about us not settling into comfort zones, but wherever that place we were going, he wanted us to be a fruitful people. He wanted us to continue to break new ground in people who had never heard in the wilderness of people's hearts. Wherever you live, you will meet and you will find people all around you who have this the wilderness of sin in their lives and who are in desperate need of you to be a pioneer in their life, to bring new things, to break new ground. This is where the pioneering spirit, I believe God wants to renew and revive that spirit in this town. Amen? So go, therefore, as you go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all I've commanded. You know, I remember when I was a boy, I grew up in British Columbia, actually. I never lived in Steinbach, although my family came from here. My parents, before I was born, they moved out to a little town called Chase in British Columbia. It's a logging town. My dad got a job as an electrician at a lumber mill. And my folks are as Mennonite. I mean, we look back in the genealogy. You can't find one non-Mennonite in my family heritage. And so it's kind of like they left these very safe communities. And the reason that they left was they looked around and they couldn't find anybody who wasn't a believer in their life. And God had given them this commission to go. And so they listened and they said, okay, God, where? And God told them, BC, go to a dark corner of this country, find a place where you can make disciples. And so my parents just did that. They were just normal people. They weren't like pastor, super pastor couple. They just went out. They went to this small town. There's a little E-free church out there. They just started to serve in the church and they met neighbors and they would have those neighbors into their home. And as I grew up, I just watched my parents love people. They just have them around the table and get to know them. And people end up getting saved. It's the weirdest thing. And those people end up coming to church and just becoming a part of our church family. And I grew up just seeing, this was like normal life. And you know, one of the things that I observed was that my parents were rich. As a kid, I just felt so rich. I'd go to my friends' houses and their dads would be like, you know, drunk and chaotic. Their lives seemed so impoverished, even though they may have had big houses. I felt so rich because of the peace and the love that was in my home. You know, that peace and that love that my family had was big enough to share. They had received something, some great blessing from the Lord. They had received more than enough for themselves. And that's the spirit of a pioneer. Is to realize that when God blesses, it's not just meant for me. Jesus said it to the 12 when he sent them out. Freely you've received, now freely give. I'm going to bless you folks, but it's not for you. It's for beyond you. And my parents just lived that very simply. And I just was able to observe that. My grandparents ended up coming out as well. I was born on my grandma's 57th birthday. And they sold their store. They had a store here in Steinbach. I don't know if anybody remembers the Lucky Dollar Foods or the Regeer Foods. That was my grandparents' store. And they sold that and they decided to retire to BC. My grandpa loved to fish. But they said, no, we're not retiring. We're refiring. And they went out as evangelists from this place to British Columbia. And you know what? All my little friends growing up got saved by my grandma. It was awesome. She just had a little good news club. And oh man, she brought the miracle of Mennonite baking to my hometown. It was an epiphany to my friends. They were like, when can I go to your grandma's place, man? I was just the richest kid in town. Are you getting this? Go. Therefore, go. When we settle, we stagnate. God's calling us to move beyond our comfort zones. I believe that the reason my parents maintained a pioneering spirit was because of their obedience to God. I think they would have lost it if they hadn't obeyed that. Now, they didn't have to go to BC to go, folks. You don't have to leave Steinbach to go. Wherever you do go, make disciples. You receive that? God wants to manifest that kind of pioneering spirit right here in Steinbach and beyond. You guys know there are three go zones, don't you? It's Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. There are three go zones. You don't have to go to the uttermost parts of the earth to go, to be witnesses, to make disciples. You could be right here in Jerusalem. But there are wilderness places, and one of the things that I just felt a burden as I was running around Steinbach, I just felt a burden for our province. And I was like, God, the blessing that you have planted so richly here, would you spread it out? I worked 8 years in the inner city of Winnipeg with an organization called Living Bible Explorers, and I saw the wilderness firsthand. And my longing was, God, would you send wilderness workers, pioneers, who would be willing with the same tenacity that my forefathers came and physically settled in this province with, that same patience when things got tough. Would you send those kinds of people into the core area neighborhoods of this city to settle this wilderness place, to move into the wildernesses of people's lives, and through that hard work ethic and love and generosity of spirit, transform the city into a place where your name is glorified once again? Some of you may be called out of Steinbach into the Judea and Samaria. Obey. It's not going to be easy, but I really believe that God will ignite things, even here, because you're willing to go. Yesterday, Steve said, healthy churches give their best away. My church gave me away. I'm not saying I was the best. Just don't hear that. That would be pride. But, you know, when West End Christian Community was struggling, God told them to give me away to Trinity Baptist, and they obeyed. And I believe the Lord's going to richly bless them for that. You guys gave Andrew away. You gave your best away. God bless you for that. Continue in that spirit of generosity. God will bless your church through that. But there's another zone, go zone, the uttermost parts of the earth. And I understand that you're sending some out. I want to encourage you to be a mission-sending church. Do you know that Steinbach has a history as a mission-sending town? My mom remembers growing up here in tent meetings where they'd have altar calls for people who are called to missions, and they were sending couples out by the dozens into all the world. May Steinbach continue to have that legacy of being a mission-sending place. Amen? Freely you've received, but it's not just for you. Freely give. Amen. That's all I got to say.